This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So the playoffs in the NFL are set. The championship game in college football is set. That's what you get this time of year. Well, week 17 is in the books. Today is the day coaches are going to get fired. There's a report that Ron Rivera is going to be hired by the Redskins to take over that team. Jerry Jones is expected to fire Jason Garrett. The Browns are going to be looking for a coach. The Panthers are going to be looking for a coach. Doug Marrone is likely out in Jacksonville. So there's going to be a number of openings. But when we close out the 2017 regular season, there's also going to be decisions made on players as we go forward. We've already saw the Tennessee Titans during the season make a decision on Marcus Mariota, who is entering the final year of his rookie deal. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in that situation with Jameis Winston. We've been saying it all year. When he's good, he's very good. But when he's bad, he's really bad. But how fitting was it that at the end of the season, the last possible throw of Jameis Winston's 2019 season happened to be a pick six that won the game for the Atlanta Falcons?
Have you ever seen Twitter explode?
Explode!
Over a pick six.
Unreal. To close out the year on a pick six is so Jameis Winston, is
and
it not?
Not only that, but to clinch the 30-30 club.
To make it the 30-30 club, the 30 touchdowns, 30 interception club, of which he is the only member.
Yeah, I can't remember who tweeted. I think it was Rich Eisen actually tweeted out when the game was when the Falcons settled for a field goal, or didn't settle, but they had to kick a field goal and send it to overtime. Rich Eisen said, even God wants this to continue. Doesn't want Jameis or wants Winston to be in the 30-30 club.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Because that's how we all felt watching that game. It's like, come on, just one throw.
And it's amazing, too, because I can only imagine everybody's immediate, before they went to Twitter, their immediate reaction when that ball was picked by Deion Jones and he's running in for the end zone. The feeling across the country of people who actually saw that must have been elation.
Oh,
absolute elation.
Both fists in the air, and it was just a yes!
Yes, he did it. He absolutely did it. All right, coming up next, we may be saying goodbye to another quarterback next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Billie Eilish breaking us back here on SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. That's great. I don't know if this is the right music for the guy I want to talk about, though, but it's still a good song.
Not a bad guy?
Not a bad guy.
All right. Well, because he's a bad guy doesn't mean he's a bad guy.
Yeah, that's right. Talking about Philip Rivers. Could be playing his last game as a Charger yesterday. He says he wants to play in this league. Doesn't want to retire. Says that's off the table. Likely done with the Chargers. Looking for a home. Where is he going to go?
There's no
team in San Diego where he lives, wants to live. Where is he going to go? I feel bad for him because he's in that weird situation where he wants to continue playing, but it's probably not going to be worth it for the Chargers to keep him around. And it's a weird way to end, isn't it? Like, we always say it, you know, look, you don't get the tour, but sometimes you get to say when you want to be done, like you want to retire, but he still wants to play. Where would he play? But here's the other thing, okay? And I mean it from my heart here with Philip Rivers. I like Philip Rivers. I watched him every year he came to Denver, and I saw the fans react to him in a really weird way. Like, we hate this guy, but we kind of respect this guy. Like, we hate this guy, but he's kind of fun. It was this weird relationship that Denver had with him. They didn't like him, don't get me wrong, but there was a level of, he's pretty good. And he's been around a long time, and he's never gone to a Super Bowl, and he's cocky, but he kind of backs it up. Listen, when I was a freshman in college, I was at the University of South Carolina, and I was overwhelmed by college football because I grew up in the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire, and we didn't have college football as a staple in our sports diet. And I loved college football as a kid. In fact, I was one of the only few kids in my high school that liked college football, like really liked it. A lot of my friends just loved the NFL. We just didn't have a team. We weren't around it. It wasn't part of our lives, but I just loved it. And so I really wanted to go to a school that had that sort of grandiose, you know, view of the sport. So I went to South Carolina, and I'll never forget, it was a night game. I'm in the student section, and Todd Ellis, who's now the voice of the Gamecocks on radio, he was the quarterback at the time. And it was his senior year, and it was really, it was a big game, lights on, everyone's excited, crowd's going crazy, we're all into it, we're screaming, and the band is lined up out of the tunnel, and you know the team is going to come out to 2001, the Space Odyssey theme, and when it reaches its peak in the song, the team was going to run out, everybody's going to lose their mind. But Todd Ellis walked out of the locker room just to warm up, because he wasn't going to be part of that, he needed to go throw. And he came out of the locker room, and as he's walking out of the tunnel by himself onto the field, it's like 90,000 people, 80,000 people on their feet, screaming, just cheering him. Because this is his senior season and whatnot, and the team was pretty good. And I thought, there's very, very few people on the planet that get to have this moment, that get to have this kind of excitement. And I got to be honest with you, I've never had that. I've never was a college athlete. I was never, obviously, a pro athlete. But I got to think it never gets old, right? Knowing that your career is short, knowing that it's ending in your mid to late 30s, that roar of the home crowd must never get old. And that has been taken away from Philip Rivers and the Chargers. They don't get to jump into the crowd of screaming fans when they score a touchdown. They don't get to come running out onto the field to 75,000 people cheering them on. They don't get any of that. And the reason they don't get any of that is because the owner of the team wanted to up the value of the franchise and took them to Los Angeles where nobody wants them. And for Rivers and Melvin Gordon and everybody else on that team over the last couple of years, they never get to experience playing in front of people that love them and care about them and just cheer their brains out for their success.
I know,
it's got to get old.
I mean, I spend a lot of time joking on the fact that they have 16 road games every season. And it's really, it's mainly joking to hide the pain, I guess.
Sure, sure.
Because it's just, it seems unfair.
It is unfair. You're absolutely
for these
right.
Guys. I mean, they come out, I mean, their team, just like anybody else in the NFL that deserves a fan base, and there is a Chargers fan base out there. It's just, you know, it's not as prevalent as it once was. It's sad when you see these guys go out there. It's sad when you know that when they're playing against the Raiders in L.A. in their home stadium, that they have to go to a silent count.
Yeah, they have to go to a silent count. They're getting booed when they run on the field.
Yeah.
All of that. At their place. Now, I know, listen, boo-hoo, I know. Big athletes, boo-hoo, I get it. But really, when these guys are playing, they know 8 games of the year that they're going to run out to a friendly crowd, people that are going to shower them with attention. And for 16 straight weeks, this guy goes out to boos, absolute boos. So here's Philip Rivers after their loss on the road to Kansas City, possibly closing out his career as a Charger.
I think it's that I can say I gave it everything I had. I mean, every week, you know, so... You know, and maybe it means an interception on 4th and 18 when you're down 10, because I don't care that it's going to say 2 interceptions. You know, I really don't. It's just like I ain't quitting. So I think that I think that doing it with so many guys over, you know, 14 years and going to the locker room, win or lose, and I can say, dadgum it, we're short. We fell short, but or we won. You know, but shoot, I couldn't try it any harder.
And some of you will have sympathy for that, and others you'll just say, you know, multimillionaire athlete, you know, whatever. But I do. I feel
he needs to be making a lot more money to feed all those kids.
That's right, with all those kids. But I do feel bad for him, and I feel bad with how that whole situation went down to try to go out there. They can claim, and Rivers didn't actually. It was last week when we talked about the Raider game, and he said, no, it stinks. It stinks. You don't have fan support anywhere. No, at no point in the season are we playing in front of people that want to see us win. Everywhere we go, the overwhelming feeling in the stadiums we play in, obviously on the road and now at home, is everybody wants us to lose. And that wears on you after a while. And this is how he's going to close that. This is how he's going to close. I feel like he's been a Charger forever.
Yeah, he has
been. Forever.
14 years.
Right? I mean, that's an amazingly long time to be a quarterback on one team. He's never gone to a Super Bowl, came close, but never did it. And now he's going to be looking for a place to play.
I'm taking a quick look at their season opponents next year. They have potential of having two home games next year.
Who are they going to be playing?
They play the usual suspects: Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders.
And it's at the new stadium.
It'll be at the new stadium. Falcons. That'll probably be an away game for them. The Jets will probably be an away game for them. Patriots will definitely be an away game for them. And these are all their home games, by the way.
Right.
The two that I have hope for, just because they're newer franchises, are the Jaguars and Panthers.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know how well, the Jag fans don't even show up to their home games.
Right.
Are they going to travel to L.A.?
And the
Panthers, same thing. I agree with you.
Yeah, these two teams don't have history of being in the NFL to have transient fans all across the country.
Right.
Or transplant fans, I should say.
So,
but yeah, no, it's depressing. I mean, I think they came close to having one home game this year. I think it was when Minnesota came to town.
Yeah,
Then again, I mean, it's like Minnesota wanting to get out of Minnesota.
But again, it's like we've talked about before. They're great travel packages for fans in these areas to go to LA, see your team. You know, maybe go see a site or two out in Los Angeles and just make a nice fun weekend out of it. There are plenty of companies that take those tickets and package them up and make really nice nice gifts for the holidays or even before. You know, and I know I told the story about the Packers when they were Super Bowl champs, and I was living in Tampa with my wife, dating my wife at the time, and everyone complained that Packer fans invaded the stadium, which was before Raymond James, the old Houlihan Stadium, and the Packer fans invaded when the Buccaneers were having a good year, and it wasn't right, and we have to support this team, and everybody was saying that. But the Bucs organization pointed out, they said, hey, these tickets went on sale in August, and none of you wanted them because you thought we'd be terrible, and Green Bay did want them. They wanted these games late in the season. They were great Christmas presents. Go to sunny Florida, be on the beach, watch the Super Bowl champs play Tampa Bay, and people ate them up. And we're in the business of selling tickets. And so there are plenty of people that do that, and L.A. is a great place to go. If you live in Green Bay, if you live in Minnesota, if you live in Chicago, if you live in Pittsburgh, if you live in Buffalo, yes! Get me on a plane, a hotel, and a ticket package? Of course. How much is that? Put it all together. I'd love to go to L.A. to see my team on the road. I love seeing the Steelers on the road. I love it. I've seen them in about six different stadiums, and I love it. I love seeing my team on the road. It's fun, especially when it's a nice place you can take a vacation out of. But I do feel bad. I mean, it's the age of an era, and it's just closed out week. He's not even going to get that moment of saying goodbye. Like, who's he saying goodbye to? Nobody. Nobody cares.
And you hit the nail on the head. Where is he going to play?
Where's he going to play is right.
I mean, you just go across the landscape, like which teams need quarterbacks. There's not that many that are willing to take a flyer on a 14-year vet.
And what are you going to get, a year out of it, 2 years tops?
That. And can he really be out of Southern California? I mean, he will come back. His wife will murder him.
Yeah, he's got eight kids.
You don't leave your wife with eight kids at home and go off and play foosball.
Yeah. They're not picking up and moving to Tampa Bay. I mean, they're not moving, right? I mean, they're not moving. They're not picking up eight children and moving them for 2 years to whoever needs a quarterback, right? Carolina Panthers. They can move to Charlotte for a year, two, maybe.
Not gonna happen.
So, and she's definitely not gonna let him go live somewhere else with eight children.
No.
Nanny, no nanny, it don't matter.
I guarantee that there are gripes and complaints when he takes that chartered SUV that looks like a rolling movie theater. That there are gripes from her about him. That's how you travel to work?
Exactly.
Like, I'm taking the minivan And how doubling up on kids in the seats?
Yeah, how long is that commute? An hour and a half, right? What? How long is the commute from where? From San Diego to General LA?
I swear.
2 hours?
I don't know if we talked about it or if I read about it, that there are times that she just, I think she just jumps in that car and just says, I'm just going to take 2 hours myself, honey.
Yeah, you right, right. Kids. Yeah, exactly.
It's not something you and I were talking about.
I know. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. As we continue along, we got a buy or sell NFL playoff edition, NFL season edition coming up as we continue along on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies that you need to do the job right the first time. Now for a limited time, save 15% when you buy a set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Just a quick bowl schedule today. We haven't done this in a while, giving you the schedule of the bowl games. There are four on tap today, Mr. Culver, running
Wait,
from...
There's still games going on?
There are. There are four today. If you're in the Eastern time zone, it's 12:30 all the way through to tonight. So you have the ServPro First Responder Bowl. That is going to be
in
Dallas.
You just made that up.
I know. This is in Dallas, but it's at Gerald J. Ford Stadium. I don't know where that is.
High school?
Is that SMU's stadium? I don't know where that is.
Couldn't tell you.
I don't have no idea. But it's Western Kentucky and Western Michigan. All right, the Battle of the Westerns. Mississippi State and Louisville will be here where I live in Nashville at the Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium. I went to a few Music City Bowls since I've been here. It's fun. But sometimes the matchup has to be good. California and Illinois going off at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara for the Red Box Bowl. Can I be honest with you? The Red Box Bowl landing the Levi Stadium land, that's pretty good. Good for them.
Yeah.
That's going to be hefty.
Having California versus Illinois, not so much.
Cal Bears against Illinois, yeah, not so much. Although Lovie Smith is still in Illinois, right?
That's, I think you're right.
Right. And then the big one, the Orange Bowl, the Capital One Orange Bowl.
Okay, now, does this feel right? Orange Bowl being played on December 30th?
No. This was a New Year's Day Bowl.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't dreaming.
Nope.
I didn't know if it was going to be one of those Mandela effect things.
Right, right.
I sit back and go, man, I remember the Orange Bowl being on New Year's Day. What's going on?
A Florida against Virginia. Do you know what I remember with the Orange Bowl when I was a kid? Because remember they used to play it at the old Orange Bowl, the old stadium? Remember that? When I remember as a kid watching the Orange Bowl, it was always New Year's Day, and I always remembered like Don Cricky was doing the game for like NBC, but there was always like confetti floating around, and the field looked crappy, and the stadium looked crappy, and it was a perfect environment for college football. Nebraska was always in it, right? Jimmy Johnson and the Hurricanes were on the other side. Like, it just the memories of those Orange Bowl games were great. I mean, just great. Florida and Virginia going at it today.
Now, is your wife, is she hyped for this game? Or is she like,
eh? However, she didn't know it was tonight. She thought also it was New Year's Day.
Well, nobody knows it's tonight.
I told her. I said, well, some fan you are. I knew it was tonight, but you didn't. No, she goes, is Virginia good? I go, they played in the ACC championship game. She goes, they must be good. I go, not Florida good. No, not Florida good. So
they were close with Clemson.
Yeah, they were really close. They were really close with Clemson for like maybe the first play. it was 62-10 or so, 17 or something like that. That's crazy. So those are your four games that are going on today. The bowl spectacular. You got to wait till the 13th? For the national championship
It's just ridiculous.
Why don't you just make it in February?
Why have it then? Why not have it Saturday during Super Bowl weekend?
Right. Why not? Just give them some more time to hype this thing up.
I mean, if they're doing this, doing it this way, giving 2 week break,
right?
We could have had more playoff teams.
Great point. Great
Just
point.
Saying.
If you're telling me that they can't fit it in the schedule, don't give me that nonsense. You played a game this weekend, and you're not going to play another one for 2 weeks? You're going to fit more games in.
Instead, you're giving us Birmingham Bowl.
Right.
Gator Bowl, famous Idaho Potato Bowl in between.
By the way, I got to be honest with you, and I'm old school, I know it, so you young people are out there like, oh, shut up, Grandpa. I don't like bowl games past the first.
No,
I'm okay with the second.
Well, but I can make an allowance if you said, hey, national championship game, you're going to be on the sixth.
That's fine. No, that's fine.
I can make
fine.
An allowance.
What I'm talking about is, let me look it up real quick. Let me just look it up. On the second, there's the Ticketmaster Birmingham Bowl.
Yep.
There's the Gator Bowl between Tennessee and Indiana. Then the third is Nevada and Ohio in the Idaho Potato Bowl. Then the fourth is Southern Miss and Tulane in the Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth. Then the sixth, it's the Louisiana Raging Cajuns against Miami, Ohio. Ohio,
which
the Lending Tree Bowl.
We are excited for the Lending
we
Tree
are,
Bowl.
We are carrying
it. You can hear
that.
It here on SB Nation
right.
Radio.
But they're just extending the bowl season until...
It doesn't... I mean, these bowls, all these games right here, play them today and tomorrow.
Why not?
They're definitely not New York Six bowls.
I can understand if you're saying, look, what these bowls need is television and media exposure, and if you bundle them all together, they lose it. Okay, I can buy that, and I can get into that. But, I mean, listen, I don't know. Maybe it's just, again, the traditionalist that just remembers when it was all over.
To that
and
credit,
the AP
though,
poll came out the next day,
right.
And I found out who won the national championship.
But to that credit, are you really tuning into the famous Idaho Potato Bowl at 3:30 on a Friday afternoon?
Well, it depends on the date because most people are back to work by that time, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's not a holiday. It's not a day off.
Nope.
Right? Most people, look, maybe you take that week off because this week off. I mean, you and I are off tomorrow and Wednesday, but we'll be back Thursday. Most people are like, okay, look, we're done. New Year's Eve is over.
All right, let me ask you this. On January 4th,
right?
Saturday, January 4th, are you tuning in to the Armed Forces Bowl at 11:30 a.m.?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Or are you taking care of business because you know you have some wild card playoff to watch later on that day?
Well, I think Southern Miss and Tulane could be an appetizer. You could watch that and then jump right into the
I
NFL.
I guess, is that the pre-party? Like
right.
you're having a bunch of people over, so that's just on in the background?
Right.
It's just background noise instead of playing Christmas music?
And then I show up and I'm like, this is a great party. And they're like, well, this isn't the party. We're all going to Joe's house. That's what the party is. This is the warm up to get to where the real stuff is.
Yeah, this is us just Oh,
okay.
This is us just drinking in the parking lot, Tony.
They're like, if you think these appetizers are delicious, wait till Joe's got a full buffet.
I'm 100% with you. This doesn't make any sense to have these bowl games, these type of bowl games afterwards. I mean, if you were gonna if you were gonna spread out the New York Six Bowl, maybe play the Citrus Bowl, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, not have them on January 1st. But have them as the main course dinner on a Monday night, Tuesday night, where they're their own star. I can understand what the NCAA is trying to do.
Sure.
I don't get, why the famous Idaho Potato Bowl needs to be played on January 3rd.
Famous Idaho Potato Bowl. That's great.
Yeah.
That's on the blue turf in Boise.
The Smurf turf.
That's right. That's great. And let's see, the Armed Forces Bowl is going to be at Fort Worth. That's where TCU plays. They're in TCU Stadium for that bowl game.
All right. Birmingham Bowl on Legion
Birmingham
Field.
Birmingham Bowl at Legion, legendary Legion Field in Birmingham. Is that
part of the name now? Is it legendary
yes,
Legion
they
Field?
Should, whenever you say Legion Field, you should say legendary.
You have to say legendary beforehand.
Because that's where the first SEC championship game was, and that's where all the Alabama neutral site games were, right? Back in the day. Well, before they built Bryant Denny Stadium, they used to play there. So,
But it's legendary.
Yeah, and so, but it's legendary. I've been there. I saw South Carolina lose to UConn there, so it's not legendary to me.
It's still fresh and young in your mind, right?
I remember I parked my car in somebody's parking backyard. You know how you find parking in somebody's backyard? And they were just boxing us in because they were trying to maximize the money. And I remember getting out of the car and I asked the lady, I said, excuse me, ma'am, are we going to be boxed in? Can I leave early? And she goes, boxed in. I go, yeah, I just need. She goes, get out of here. Get your car out of here. I'm like, no, we're good. We're good. We're good. Sorry. I don't want to give you a lip. So here's $20.
Man.
Yeah, she was not. She didn't want to hear anything. She's like, park your car or don't park your car. Move away.
Welcome back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Time now for Buy or Sell.
Buy or Sell.
Buy or Sell. It's the NFL playoff season edition. Are we going back in time for this buy or sell and talk about the season that was?
A little bit, sure.
A little bit, yeah. I like this. We've just wrapped up 17 weeks of NFL football. We beg for it to come, and then it just disappears from our lives as quickly as we landed.
Too soon.
It's too soon.
Too soon.
We're done.
But regardless, the season does come to an end. So I put together a NFL 2019 season superlatives.
Got it. Okay.
You know, kind of stealing something from a certain Tonight Show.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Very good.
So you just have to go through and just let me know. There's a dozen of them. I mean, just let me know. Do you buy or sell? And just, let's have some
fun.
All
right. I'm in.
Buy or sell, the most surprising award goes to Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens.
Surprising, yeah. I didn't think he was going to be this great coming out of last season. I know he was going to be good, but remember, the last thing we saw of him was not being all that awesome in the playoffs against the Chargers, and that was it. But we kept hearing, they've redone the entire offense around him.
Yes.
Greg Roman is going to do a fantastic job with him. And so it shouldn't be that surprising, but listen, I'm on the edge of I'll believe it when I see it, and I saw it, I believe it. But yeah, no, it's surprising. He is beyond what I thought. So yeah, I'll buy that. All right,
I was having issues here. Hold on.
Okay, no problem.
To the opposite, the most disappointing team this season. I'm giving it a tie.
Go ahead.
Cleveland Browns, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, both of them. Cleveland? No. I won't go there. I won't go down that road. That's too easy. I agree with both of those. Dallas should have made the playoffs. Not only should Dallas have made the playoffs, they should have easily gotten 10 wins on the season. That should have been a double-digit win team. They weren't. I know they were dealing with some injuries, but not a zillion. They didn't lose Dak Prescott for 6 games like the Saints did. They didn't lose Dak Prescott for the entire season like Ben Roethlisberger when he was out in week 2. They should have won 10 games. If I'm Jerry, I'm just really angry. The Browns, though, I have a funny feeling with all that talent, they should have been good, but they wouldn't have been Ravens good. Even if that team was playing pretty well and winning games, they weren't. I don't think they would have been Ravens good. I will not give them a pass on a 6-10 season. That was abysmal. Yeah. So I agree with you. I'll buy both of those. Both of them are disappointing.
All right, the worst play of the year. The Dolphins' 2-point conversion try against the Redskins.
Yes,
to win the game.
We said it at the time. The Dolphins had a chance to win that game against the Redskins and called the most ridiculous 2-point conversion play in the history of the league.
It still makes me laugh.
What was that? I want to say it was like week 4 or 5.
Yeah.
All right. It was around then. At that point, anybody who said, no, they're not trying to tank. No, they're playing hard.
You would point to that play.
Yes. You could say, well, then explain this nonsense because this is ridiculous.
I mean,
I'm counting it now. It was week 5.
Yeah. We get, if sometimes you try a running play in those situations. That was not the case.
No.
This was a inside screen passing play that had there was no blocker.
No chance. No blockers. No nothing. Blocker. Nothing. It was ridiculous. I laugh whenever I see it. It's so funny.
Yeah. But yeah, you can picture it in your head. The guy just getting the ball and you're just like, oh God, it's going to hurt.
God, what a dumb play. Still dumb. Now I'm getting more. Now I'm getting angry that they insulted our football intelligence, Ron,
by
running that play.
sticking with the Dolphins here, the craziest stat ever. And I'm not just saying 2019. This could be close to like all-time craziest stat ever. Ryan Fitzpatrick led the Dolphins in passing yards and rushing yards.
That's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. I'm looking it up now. He led the team with 242 rushing yards. What happened? I'm not in on the Dolphins week in and week out. What happened to their running game? Was it just a big old committee of people getting a chance to run one game and then move on to something else?
Apparently.
Is that how it worked?
It may not have been one game. It may have been one play.
Right.
Well, they let's try you.
No, no, no. Nope. Come on. Nope. Nope. Come on in. We got it.
I'm just curious. Was there a public service announcement? Like, yeah, to attention fans in the stands, you get to run the ball onto the field.
That's right. That's right. Mark Walton was the second guy on the team with 201 yards rushing.
Yeah, says you.
Now, I'm looking at now. Kenyon Drake, who left, he was 100. I mean, all these guys, none of them. All these guys played one game, six games, eight games, four games.
But, I mean, your main running back didn't rush for, I mean, that's the thing. Play, if you could play four games, you would somehow fall into around 250 yards,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, easily. If you were the consistent back.
If you were the starting running back averaging about, you know, 15 to 20 carries a game.
Yeah.
In four games, it would just happen that you would get 250 yards rushing.
Exactly.
No.
All right, here's one. Kalen Balji.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he had played 12 games for Miami. He ran 74 times. So he was handed the ball 74 times,
yep.
135 yards total.
God.
That is 1.8 yards a carry. All right, this was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 243 yards, was the Dolphins' leading rusher this season.
Craziest stat ever.
You can't make this up.
Moving on, the best comeback story, Ryan Tannehill.
Yes, yes. Because he was coming out. Where did he go to school? Texas Tech,
yes.
Right? Texas Tech. He had a beautiful wife who had the AR-15 in the car. Yep, still does. Remember, she had the rent a car with the assault rifle in it.
In fact,
that story.
To be honest with you, before the show began, I had to look up how to spell Tannehill because I wanted to do him justice and get his name spelling right. And one of the first things that does pop up is Ryan Tannehill's wife, and like, you know what? I haven't seen her in a while. I got lost for her a little bit.
Yeah, she's a very beautiful, beautiful
very
woman.
Attractive very attractive woman.
And she had an assault rifle in her car.
Yes.
He didn't make it on the Dolphins, was landed on Tennessee. Nobody here in Tennessee was happy about it.
Was cut for Josh Rosen and Fitzpatrick.
Nobody was happy about it because they knew Mariota was injury prone. So everyone thought, you know, Mario's the starter, obviously. But they were saying, well, he is injury prone. And if he's going to be injured, this is not the guy.
Yeah. Don't want him to be our backup.
Completely the opposite of what happened. Now everybody loves him. He's great. Changed the franchise. And as I said, and it's worth repeating, I'm a Steeler fan, but the playoffs are better with the Titans in it.
Yes, they are.
I wanted the Steelers to make the playoffs, but the Titans in the playoffs makes it a better AFC. So there you go. But yeah, great.
For this next one, you can call him Mr. Dependable, maybe Mr. Reliable, even Mr. Consistency. And that's going to go to Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. All right. I'd say that. I mean, wait, was he 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving this year?
Yep.
Right? One of only a few players in the history of the league.
Third player in history.
Third player.
That if you needed someone, that's the person you rely on. And I'm looking at it as a Panthers team that was just in disarray.
Complete mess. What happened? Good Lord. They just spiraled out of control.
Well, that'll come up in a few here.
All right, one point they were 5-3.
Yeah, we'll
right, just put it that way.
We'll get to that in just a few. Best new character goes to Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, he was fun, wasn't he fun? I hope it lasts.
Even yesterday,
he's the guy. Yeah,
even yesterday he was fun.
They won that game. They shut out the Colts in the second half. They won that last game of the year.
And who would have thunk it? And that was, you know, possibly Doug Marrone's last game. So they finally really show up to play.
I've never had more fun talking about a quarterback of than we did with Gardner Minshew. Everything. And I think all the shows on the network were like that, because I know the boys in the afternoon had
across the country.
Uncle Rico on. I mean, it was just a fun story.
Yeah, I mean, Uncle Rico, he enjoyed Gardner Minshew mania.
Minshew mania, bandana, fake mustache, you can buy season tickets.
Yep.
But he was really, really fun. He really was great. Yeah. I hope he has a nice career.
Yeah, hopefully he sticks around.
Yeah, I do too.
Best in-season move, Broncos going with Drew Lock.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean,
I don't know if it's the best. Titans have the best move.
Well, I already gave him that one. I'm trying to spread it out. But I know at the time you weren't really high up on Drew Lock being chosen. In that first week, what was that against the? I can't remember who the Broncos were playing in that first game. When
I
remember that you at first were like, "Oh God, you're going with Drew Lock. This isn't going to be great."
Don't dump him into a bad situation.
But hey, four wins out of five.
Yeah,
the remaining five games. That's impressive.
There is a different attitude. Again, this is what the NFL does really well, is that you can have a season where it didn't go your way, ball didn't bounce your way, you lost some close games. The Broncos finished 7-9, and they finished 7-9 because of what you just mentioned. They won four of their last five games. Now, 7-9, of course, doesn't get you in the playoffs, but it means you're building something and you're doing some things right. It took a little bit. Look, I thought Vic Fangio at the very beginning of the season was maybe he's in over his head, but it is 16 games, and throughout the 16 games, they are finding things that are working. They're finding things that are not working. I would not be surprised if next year they make a push towards the playoffs, may not get it, but I think they're not going to be the dead football team and by midseason that we saw this year.
Right. The worst in-season move, Panthers firing Ron Rivera.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I thought that could have waited till the end of the year. I know Dave Tepper wanted to go in a different direction, and I know why. I know it's philosophical, and it was not based on performance. It was just he has a vision for where he wants the front office to go. We talked about it at great length at the time. Ron Rivera does not fit that analytical approach that he wants to go with.
Right.
He's the owner. That's his team. This is not an indictment on Ron Rivera, and I know the seasons have gotten away from him, but it's more philosophical than it was angry fire coach. But why they did it at the time, they could have just rolled it and be done with it at the end of the
exactly.
year.
Exactly. That was the point I was going to make. You could do it now. You could do it today.
Right. Do it today.
Do it today.
Let him finish it out.
You probably would have ended up with a couple more wins.
That's right. That's right.
Because I don't even know who the interim coach was, but he's not going to be there.
No, he's not. Ron Rivera is a good coach, and he's going to land, I guess, with the Redskins. That's the report. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition.
He's
going to
get swooped up quickly.
Quickly. He's a good coach. So.
He might get hired while others are getting fired.
That's right.
That's how quick it'll be.
That's right.
Death, taxes, and Jameis Winston.
There's nothing you can do about him. Look, I heard Tony Dungy say they need to cut the interceptions down. Well, tell me how, coach. What do you do? This is a guy who just does, this is what he does. This is what he's done since he got to the NFL. How are you going to change that? Dungy brought up Manning. He said, well, Manning threw a lot of picks early in his career, too. I don't think this guy can change. I think he's a gambler. He throws the ball where he throws the ball.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, you know, we all waited on bated breath for yesterday to happen, and he delivered.
And he delivered.
He delivered in the most epic fashion possible.
I love it. It's just, I think it's the funnest moment of the weekend.
It definitely was.
Just realizing, good Lord, you couldn't ask for a better ending to Winston's season.
Even he had to smile over a plate of lobsters.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, when he was talking crabs. Right, when he gets the crab legs, he's like, yeah, all right, I get it. I get what people are having fun with.
That was funny.
All right.
Coach of the year. It'll probably go to someone like John Harbaugh or Kyle Shanahan, but I'm going to throw another name out there.
Sure.
Brian Flores deserves a vote. I know we made fun of the Dolphins before, but given the last half of the season, what he did with what that team has.
You know what? There's a sentimental vote I would give to him because you're right. We brought this up today. This was a historically bad football team at the beginning of the season. This was a team that was going to set all the records for most points allowed, most points scored. Like they couldn't score and they were giving up million points. And it looked like this was the trend because it wasn't just the first game. It was the first 4 weeks of the season. And for now, they are a 5-11 football team like any other 5-11 football team in the history of this league. And there's been a billion of them. And they closed out as a team that would fight you. You may not beat them. I mean, they may not beat you, but they'll fight you. And that's a lot better than at the beginning of the season we thought they were laying down for everybody.
Yep.
So, yeah, Brian Flores did a great job.
He did. I do have one more. I'm going to throw it to you, and you could probably expand more on it on the other side.
Okay.
All right. So the real MVP is coming up next.
All right. We'll do that. Coming up next on SB Nation AM.
Take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Okay, last one on the buy or sell.
The last one, because I know you have an opinion on this. The real MVP of the 2019 NFL season is backup quarterbacks.
Backup quarterbacks is right. Absolutely. Absolutely. We talked about this so much, about going through the list of teams and saying who is using a backup into what capacity. And it goes from guys getting benched to guys getting hurt. You know, the Steelers rotating two guys, Ryan Tannehill emerging as a legitimate star, mm-hmm. but Teddy Bridgewater, what he did for the Saints. Think about where the Saints are right now. If Bridgewater had gone 500 during that stretch, we may be talking about a different Saints team. Yeah, I mean, maybe the position doesn't change, but
yeah,
Atlanta wins a game or two. Yeah, Atlanta wins a game or two. All of a sudden, you know, they might even be a race, but it was not a race. But then
you're also talking about like the opponents he was playing against.
Right.
I mean, he actually never faced Atlanta, but he did face the Panthers. He faced the Buccaneers.
Kyle Allen was you know, came with the Panthers. We mm-hmm. saw
Gardner Minshew
emerge. We saw Luke Falk, a guy we never heard of, become the quarterback of the Jets.
Yeah, let's be honest,
and of course, the big one in New York, Daniel Jones, legitimately a backup at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
took over after week two and became the starter. You're right. You go through the list and you can start counting all of the times teams.
Broncos.
At some point. Broncos, right? Broncos.
I mean, now on to Drew Locke, who...
Does anybody remember Joe Flacco was the starting quarterback for the Broncos at the beginning of the season?
Wait, he was?
Yeah.
I thought it was Brock Osweiler.
So, week 17. All done. Have a good new year, everybody. It's SB Nation Radio.